Hi, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Puzzle Pete, the podcast dedicated to giving you tips and tricks about making it in the music industry. Today I'm speaking to the amazing folk artist Romani. We chat about her journey from Belgium to Melbourne, making her way in the music industry here, not knowing anybody, and all the different workshops and exhibitions she's taken up while living here. What were some of the early things you put in place to begin your career here?
Yeah, I do have to admit it was very daunting, and I still consider myself emerging. But I guess I just, when I was on the plane over here, I started with creating like a Google Doc with all the pubs and like live music venues that I could find online and see which ones were doing open mics and just get to know people. Something that really spoke to me about Melbourne was that there's such a large community here, and it's all about who knows who and who's friends with who. And it's actually been incredible because I've met so many amazing friends and musicians that I'm now collaborating with. And yeah, I think I'm still saying yes to everything that comes my way. And yeah, just trying to get out of the usual genre as well. There's so much benefit of getting out of your comfort zone, and that's where you grow the most.
Could you almost think of it like, if you want to start your career, it's almost like standing at the start line of a race in a way, but you can't really start there. You need to sort of do a bit of a run up before you get to that point. So for you trying to get to that point, so I know you mentioned there was reaching out to certain pubs and clubs and stuff like that. So what did that sort of entail? You just reached out to them and told them a bit about yourself and what you hope to achieve here? Or
I was quite lucky because I had been doing this in Belgium for like only for like a year and a half, but things sort of accelerated for me back home, and I was lucky to record an EP, just like everything tracked live, and I sort of wanted to have that as some proof that I was actually like a musician. I had never considered myself as a musician, and I sort of used that thing online where I could go to venues and say like, look, I've played this, this, and this in Belgium. I just moved here. I really want to get to know the scene and I want to play live. And yeah, I got lucky. Some people replied and said, yes, we like your sound. Do you want to like do a double bill? But then I didn't know anyone. So I kind of like, I recently checked back on my like socials and I put out a post and I was like, I don't know anyone who wants to play music with me. And yeah, things happened and I found my crew and I found musicians that I play live with now. And it's been, yeah, really amazing. Even during lockdown, connecting online has been really valuable for me.
I imagine that it must feel really rewarding in a way that the sort of people you've built along the way and the relationships you have built from nothing, I suppose. And was that mainly through building a relationship that wasn't on the music side, if that makes sense? So trying to just get to know people as friends and just not having that ulterior motive, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it's really interesting because like it is true, I was mainly trying to find friends, but also I think the aspect of music has been helpful for finding friends, because I came here with my partner and like he always says to me like, oh, it's so inspiring that you've got so many friends here already. But it is through music, I guess, that I've found those friends, because you have that connection. And it's, yeah, I sort of arrived here thinking like, oh, I have literally nothing to lose. So I'm not going to have any bullshit around me and I'm just going to try and become friends. And yeah, it's been really like I've grown so much as a person and as a musician trying to find my voice. But I've got a long way to go still. So many friends to meet still.
And something you mentioned before, that Melbourne does have a really amazing music scene, that everyone is there to support themselves. All the different types of things that come under that music industry banner, they're all there to support one another. But sort of on the non-live side, what were kind of some other workshops and classes, because I know you mentioned that you had maybe done that or sort of done those sort of things in the past. So what were there any in Melbourne that you took up, or maybe around Australia, or maybe back in Belgium that you found kind of have been rewarding for you now in your career?
I never had any like musical training or education, so I'm sort of during lockdown taking the time to really catch up on those things. And I've been doing online guitar lessons and just like reaching out to musicians that I am really admiring and like just ask if they wanted to give me like songwriting classes or guitar lessons. I've been doing there's an American, I guess it's now a company. It's called School of Song, and they're setting up songwriting courses, and you get to meet other musicians and you write 5 songs in a month, which is extremely daunting, but it's
Wow.
extremely rewarding. And I guess outside of that really like music education thing, just like the EPRA MCOS networking nights, and VMDO is doing amazing things as well. Just I hate networking, but it is sort of good to get yourself out there. And it's not always about the networking. It's sometimes like just a panel that you can attend and just listen to what other people with more experience have to say. And you learn so much from just communicating, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then could you almost, obviously there's many differences between the average office job and something in the music industry, but there are obviously a lot of parallels. So could you kind of, would you kind of compare it to an office job in the way that meeting people and in networking and workshops and panel discussions, it's almost integral if you want to start a career, because later down the line, one of those people might run a label or get high up in a label, and they'll remember you from when they met you. And how have you kind of felt that to be? Has that sort of thing shown itself in your career? Like, have you gone back to people you met and they've sort of helped you along the way?
Yeah, definitely. I have been extremely lucky because I couldn't find a job the first few months that I was here because I am temporary resident. My skill set is I studied languages, so I'm actually like I was a translator. Never worked as a translator, but yeah, so I have that language background. Couldn't find a job. I didn't want to be a translator, and I saw a music internship with a company called Muso. Started off there as an intern and got to all these networking nights and like openings of music venues. And I actually landed a job as marketing coordinator for a music hub called Small Time. And now I work with the most amazing musicians, and it's so inspiring. And I've recorded my EP there. So like everything you do, like everything you do within the music industry can always be helpful, and it's never a waste of time. Or yeah, I guess as a musician, you have to see yourself as a sort of business, and it's your brand. And I know it sucks that you have to see yourself as a business, but it is like whatever you do in life, it can only benefit, just getting yourself out there.
Yeah, and then I well, about the kind of your position at Small Time and stuff like that. Do you see that also helping your like working with other musicians? Because I know it's a pretty big, or no, not maybe big, but it is a popular sort of element of the music scene here in Melbourne. But if you found that sort of aspects of that and maybe meeting other musicians have sort of influenced your music style and maybe ways you go about recording or writing things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely, because you get to meet so many, like I would never like force myself like and say like, hey, I'm also a musician, but you get to meet other musicians, and like just from the background you can experience other people's styles and like how their story, because every story is unique and every musician has that voice and builds that platform around them. And I've learned so much from seeing all the talent here in Melbourne. I'm always amazed by how many talent there is as well. So that was daunting in the beginning, but now I've sort of been like, okay, I can only learn from everyone. And maybe one day I'll be like that. But yeah, it's really cool. being sort of in the middle of it all from the background.
Yeah, and then sort of cover it, we've covered sort of the massive live scene and the massive sort of industry scene in terms of workshops and companies. But then another big thing in Melbourne, especially all across Australia, but in Melbourne especially, is sort of radio stations and community radio stations, and the one that this podcast is for, SYN, and a lot of other initiatives like that that are about getting this music from up and coming artists and establishing artists out there. So, have you sort of felt that come across in your career? Are there any sort of ways you have gone about getting your music out there? Just reaching out to radio stations, or maybe working back from contacts you've met who can help you out to get these songs on radio stations? Have you sort of gone through that?
Yeah, I've been really lucky to work with Beehive. They're like my publicist team. So yeah, I'm fully independent apart from like I work with a publicist because I found it really daunting releasing my first Australian music. And my producer James actually put me in contact with Sammy, who then said like, I love your music, I want to work with you. So yeah, I've got a publicist on my team, so they did all the radio plugging, which landed me with Sin. And yeah, I've actually like after that whole process of working with PR, we actually found out that I knew some people from Sin that had seen me at a gig,
Oh,
and
wow.
then we sort of became friends. And yeah, it's nice to see that community radio is so important in Australia because it's sort of there in Belgium, but it's very like the main radio stations will normally only pick up people that are with labels, which is frustrating sometimes for smaller artists, but also understandable because it is quite a small music scene. Whereas here in Melbourne, you can sort of like get your way in by meeting people and then get your radio play on community radio, which is really important. Yeah.
Yeah. And were there any, obviously the Melbourne music scene is amazing, and from what I've read and from what you've spoken about, the Belgium music scene is quite good as well. But are there any elements of the Belgian music scene that you would like to sort of see here, if that makes sense? Or are there any elements of your career there that maybe you'd want to bring over to your career here? Maybe there's nothing.
I guess like all the good elements from Belgium, we sort of have in Melbourne as well. There's lots of opportunities for smaller music. There's a website in Belgium, it's called Vibe, and it's a bit like Triple J on Earth, but they post opportunities and then you can apply for it. And I've gotten like incredible gigs through that, and just yeah, there's heaps of small gigs where you can really get your name out. And I'm all for like live music. That's why I'm feeling really sad during lockdown, because I really need that connection. And like I feel during gigs is where I best connect with an audience, and that was my whole plan of coming here and like play all the shows that I can get. Which has been on the, yeah, a little bit of a downfall right now being locked down. But we're getting out soon and hopefully there's going to be more gig opportunities and then we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm sure there'll be many things. And then in terms of maybe the, I know you mentioned that you work with a publicist and they help you sort of get the music from you creating it out there to the ears of people. But what about some maybe other elements of sort of that post music industry, I suppose? So maybe the social media side and sort of, it's the only one that I can think of off the top of my head, but there are a lot of different elements that are associated with music making and getting it out there that maybe people don't really consider. So have there been anything like that that has come your way that you didn't really expect when you're trying to establish a career here?
Yeah, I am always like, it's really like as an independent artist, you are and your marketeer and your songwriter and your manager and your like your everything. And it's so much work. And I am extremely overwhelmed by social media, but I'm also like, I've released an EP on vinyl the week we went into lockdown. So I've set my goals that I just cannot like not be on social media right now, because I would just like I have this extremely existential crisis where I'm like, if I'm not on social media, I probably don't exist for people, and I'm not in Belgium and I'm not an Australian, so what am I? And yeah, it's been really like I've been trying to be really real on social media, and I found that that sort of connects with people. And yeah, trying to find new ways of promoting your music. But it is, yeah, it's daunting. It is hard work. But I feel like other musicians understand that it's hard work, so they connect with it. And like if you post a pre-save, it is important for artists that you get those pre-saves in order for Spotify to pick it up. So I, whenever I see it from fellow musicians, I'll always pre-save because I know it's important. And yeah, if you show up for others, people will hopefully do the same for you. And yeah, that's what community is all about, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's an interesting thing about social media that sort of, I feel like in this day and age, it's almost integral. As you mentioned there, you sort of, there's no way you can't be on social media in 2021 and trying to establish your career. And then in a way, do you feel like that sort of relates back to music in the sense that people, to listen to a song or to listen to an EP or an album, people almost need that supplementary thing on social media, or maybe the kind of like the behind the lyrics thing you have on Spotify, and people sort of need that thing. Have you sort of felt like that is something you have gone out to create when you are creating a song, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I guess it goes both ways. Like it's both positive and negative
Mm.
because I really like seeing the behind the story. And it like for musicians, it's really hard to keep creating that and to stay relevant and stay creative. But I do think that as a musician, you have that kind of power to create a visual world for your song. And I really like that personally, and I've like been able to work with incredible videographers that were sort of on the same line with my thoughts, and then we created this really beautiful visual world for it. And I think that only adds to the song and it gives you extra content to promote. But it is true, like costs a lot of money, costs a lot of time, and then there's also this extra element of doubt where you're like, what if I put it out and no one likes it? That's my inner critic talking. But yeah, I guess just I don't even know what I want to say with that thought, but keep going and just keep creating. Put it online, and people, there's always like I feel like there's always going to be someone that will relate to it. You might not have found the people that will connect to your music right now, but if you put it online, it stays online, which is also daunting. But yeah, I think if you keep going, it'll happen. That's what I'm manifesting.
Yeah. And then something that's sort of been a differing opinion on this, sort of different artists I've talked to, like when you're creating a song, obviously you it comes from particular emotions or stuff like that, and you get it to a point where you think it's ready to go out. But then some people I've talked to are saying that you need to get to a point where you can start to look at your song critically, which might be further than releasing it when you're happy with it, if that makes sense. So there's sort of these two differing elements. And I feel like this would be a cool thing for people to sort of learn that, do you feel like in order to for a song to be true to yourself, you need it, do you need to get it to a point where you can look critically on it, or you should just put it out when you are sort of in love with it still and it means something to you?
I am very much growing in that still, because I write a song and then I think it's the best song ever, and then I go to like I when I was recording my EP, I went to James and I was like, I wrote a new song. I think it should be on the EP and I think we should put it out next week. And then I got sort of pulled back and I was like, James said to me, like, you cannot just put something out, like, it needs to sit with you for a while. And I really had to accept that. And now I'm so happy that I've learned that. And it is like, for me, I now think that that is a better approach. But some people might think, like, I need to fall in love with the song and I need to release it right now. And that's not a bad thing. But I also think on the other, it is a really interesting question. And I think I released this EP like so long after recording it, and I was like, ah, I don't resonate with the songs anymore. But then I put them out and people were like, oh, I resonate with it. And then I sort of fell back in love with them. But I still like I'm still like I'm sitting on so many new songs and I want to release them right now. But yeah, things take time, and I had to learn and accept that, especially during lockdown, because things will take more time. And yeah, sometimes it's out of your hands as well. Like, you cannot just put something out because you feel that it's relevant now. Sometimes you have to wait and invest it, because you invest in recording songs, so you might want to wait and like wait until they're actually like polished and you've had that critical look towards them. But yeah, it works both ways. I do think you have to be in love with your music and believe in yourself in the first place, because ultimately you put music out because you have your story to tell, and if you don't like it, then why put it out?
Yeah, very interesting that there's those two different
Sorry, I'm
sides,
going
both of
really
which are really valid.
philosophical.
And then I'm not sure if this has maybe happened in your career, but you did mention you have worked with the producer in the past, but sort of how do you deal with maybe, I feel like this is something that happens to a lot of establishing artists, that they go to songwriting camps or classes and have maybe put a lot of care into elements of a song, and maybe these more experienced, or yeah, I guess experienced songwriters or producers maybe tell them, no, that's not a good, maybe not in that such harsh tone, but maybe no, that's not a good element. Change it for this, or that doesn't fit with this. And maybe this is more true of different careers, maybe like writing or stuff like that. But sort of how have you, has it happened in your career, that sense of having to, that whole premise of killing your babies, you're something you've put a lot of care into and you're having to drop it. Has that something that's happened in your career, and sort of how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I did have that in like several locations, but not really like as in this is bad. But yeah, someone more experienced giving me feedback, and I really learned and like take it in and grow from it. And I'm kind of good in letting go of, so like I am doing I'm getting songwriting lessons from Kate Davis, who's an idol for me, and I'm extremely lucky that she wants to work with me, and she's been giving me feedback, and we've actually like re like I rewrote songs off her feedback, and she said that I'm actually really good at letting go of older songs and like reworking them into something that for both of us feels now better. So I'm happy that I can get those feedback elements. And I'm, yeah, more than happy to take constructive feedback. As long as it's constructive, I think it's always a good thing if people speak up. Because I feel like artists never want to be hard on other people. They just say it because they want to help you, which, yeah, it is sometimes hard to like let go of songs and let go of lyrics that feel really close to you, but then you can sort of make up your mind and think, like, is it really like, do I want this to be the initial thing because it's special to me? And like, then definitely stick with it. But if you feel like it can improve, then like, take in the feedback and just learn from it. And yeah, it's been really helping me to get constructive feedback.
Yeah, wow. And then just keeping an eye on the time. I've taken up a lot of your time. So to kind of
Oh, that's all right. I'm enjoying this. Hope I'm not saying weird things, but yeah.
and then where do you kind of hope to see your career go after or in the next few years? Like, what's the have is there anything you feel like in the last maybe lockdown, even this year, the all the lockdowns we've had, that something might come from classes you've had or maybe people you've met online that you feel like is going to happen within the next 2 years? Or yeah, how are you kind of feeling the next portion of your musical career going?
I am a really naive musician. I have really big dreams, which I will get my heart broken because I know the music industry is really hard. But I really want to play tours and I want to play live and I want to release albums and I just want my music to be heard. And yeah, I guess I'll just keep working hard. I'm really excited to play with my band. I found the perfect band members and we had two shows before lockdown and it was amazing and I just wanted to get better and I want to play shows. I think I just want people to connect with my music. I think that's the main goal for me. And in order to do that, I probably will have to get it out there. So yeah, the next big step will be recording again and releasing and hopefully play a tour here and there if that can happen ever again. I am hopeful. Yeah, that's my big goal. But I know it's optimistic.
And then just something that came to mind then, in terms of you getting your music out there, I came across your music on Bandcamp on the front sort of Melbourne page. So what's sort of that process for Bandcamp been like? I feel like it's not really, when people think of getting their music out there, a lot of people I feel like think of Triple J on Earth first, which are great, but what is your sort of what's it been like with your music on Bandcamp? Have you had a lot of attention from there rather than Triple J on Earth and maybe other areas, or has it sort of been even?
I had no idea that people connected with my music through Bandcamp. That's really nice to hear. Yeah, I've put my vinyl and my merch on there and I've been pushing people like on Bandcamp Fridays, which is amazing. They waive their revenue. So it's been really good for musicians. And each Bandcamp Friday I'll probably do a post and like say like, hey, I'm having t-shirts, which is really redundant and I hate myself for it for being that kind of salesperson, but it is needed and I'm so extremely lucky that people buy my merch and like having my music on vinyl was the biggest dream and I think that was the first moment for me where I'm like, I'm an artist, I've done it. And I'm so happy that I've invested in vinyl. Unfortunately, I'm still here with all the boxes because I haven't played any live shows or EP launches. But yeah, hope that that can happen soon.
That was the amazing Romany talking to us today about the Melbourne music scene and making her mark here, not knowing anybody. Follow her over on Instagram at Romany Music. Follow us over on Instagram at Puzzle Piece Pod.